Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
Luke chapter 17, and we'll be in verses 11 through 19 this morning. Luke 17, 11 through 19. So after finishing the book of Habakkuk, I've decided to kind of finish out the rest of the year with various holiday-related sermons. And so I'll do a couple of Thanksgiving sermons, some Christmas sermons, and then by the time we know it, it'll be 2021. And then I'll look to the new year to probably start a new book. But let's begin by reading our passage for this morning, Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood a distance, and lifting up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The story of Scottish minister Alexander White, and he was known for his many uplifting prayers in the pulpit. And it's said that he always found something to be thankful for. One Sunday morning, the weather was so gloomy that this church member thought to himself, "Certainly the preacher won't think of anything for which to thank the Lord on a wretched day like this." Much to his surprise, however, White began praying, "We thank thee, O God, that it is not always like this." And, you know, like that Scottish minister, are you able to always find something to be thankful for? In our text for today, we're going to be challenged with thankfulness. Now, before we get to this story, of course, it's always, always important to consider the context of what the passage that you're reading is in. And here in chapter 17, Jesus has been talking about faith. And so he talks about faith. He talks about what our attitudes and our actions should be. And the passage right before this, verses 7 through 10, he shows us that we are servants of God. And our attitude should reflect that, right? As we serve God, our attitude should reflect that we are servants of God. And so we should be humble. We should recognize that God owes us nothing, really. And we owe him everything. We should never think that God owes us all this gratitude, for we are unworthy servants, simply doing our duty for our master. And so he makes that point in the passage before ours. But now as we get to our passage for today, it's actually somewhat related because it shows a flip side. So God isn't in debt to us. He doesn't owe us gratitude, but rather we should be grateful for his mercy. Our gratitude is owed to him. And our attitude should be one of gratitude. We are unworthy, and we are in desperate need of mercy. We should have the mindset that anything good we receive, anything good we are able to do, is from God alone. And so that's the context, and now let's move into our story. Our story has actually two parts to it, and so I'll handle them separately, and then I'll actually bring out a truth for each one. And so the first part of the story is that 10 lepers are healed. And you see that starting out in verse 11. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's between Samaria and Galilee. He enters a certain village, and there's these 10 lepers standing there, and they're actually standing at a distance, and that's purposeful, because they had leprosy. And the term leprosy in the Bible was actually an infectious skin disease, and it was actually a very general term for a variety of different skin diseases. And you see in Leviticus 13, 45 and 46, the Bible actually gives instructions to these lepers for how they should live. It says this: the leprous person who has a disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So just think about those things. You could never look clean and put together. You always had to look disheveled and unkempt. Your clothes had to be torn. Your hair wild. Your mouth covered. These were actually signs of mourning. That wouldn't be fun, would it? You know, some of you can't even take 1 hour of feeling unkempt after you wake up. Now, other people may think, oh, I could do it, right? I could do it for a long period of time. But those things are bad in themselves. But then you add on to the fact that whenever you were around people, you had to yell, "Unclean." That's embarrassing, right? Not only do you have to look unclean, you have to proclaim to others that you're unclean. No one likes to be the unclean person. It's not something that someone's proud of, yet here you have to tell people that you're unclean all the time. You have to look unclean. You have to tell people you're unclean. All of those things just mentioned are bad, right? They're hard to go through. But then you add on another layer onto it. And you also had to live by yourself outside of the camp. That is, you had to live outside of the community. You were essentially banished from society. You were an outcast, an outsider, a pariah. And to think that this status wasn't, for most people, wasn't just for a week. It wasn't for 2 weeks. It wasn't for a month. It typically also wasn't for a year or two. If you had leprosy for your life, this was a lifetime thing. This is how you live for the rest of your life. Now, right now, as we're going through this pandemic, we're actually feeling maybe an extremely small sliver of what it's like to be a leper. You know, we have to keep our distance from each other, and when one of us gets COVID, we feel like we need to walk around where we have to hunker in our houses and yell, "Unclean!" And yet having leprosy back in the Bible times was 1,000 times harder than what we're going through. You know, imagine the joy and relief when we finally get over this hurdle and we're able to get close to each other and give handshakes and hugs and show our full faces in public. And when we cough, we won't have to be worried that someone thinks we have it, right? When we can resume normal life. That's just the joy and relief that we'll feel. It's just a minuscule relief of the joy and relief of what a leper would feel if they were cleansed. Just imagine the joy that they would have, the relief that they would have. You'd go from this miserable-looking outcast to now being able to return to society, clean and healthy and restored. So now think about the state, the condition of these 10 lepers. That's what they are going through. They're in this group together, most likely because they want some sort of community, and all they can find, all they're allowed to have, is really community among the lepers. Their suffering, their condition brought them together. They seem to have heard about Jesus, or maybe saw him heal. At the very least, heard about his healing powers because they cry out, "Have mercy on us." And that is really a cry for healing. It is a cry for Jesus to look on their state and have pity on them and cleanse them of this miserable condition. They're desperate. They've heard rumors, possibly. They desire to get out of this wretched state and back into a healthy, restored place in society and normal life. And how does Jesus respond? He says, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." You see, in Old Testament times, if you were cleansed of leprosy, you had to actually go to the priest, and then the priest had to inspect, and then he would declare that you were clean. And then they actually had to do some sacrifices afterwards. But that was kind of the process. And so what Jesus is doing, he's actually kind of pushing them to faith, pushing them to obey. And kind of the assumption is that he would cleanse them, and then the priest would then be able to declare them clean. And so actually you see Jesus following the law here by telling them to be examined. But amazingly, the lepers listen, and they're cleansed as they go. We, of course, see Christ's power to heal, right? He doesn't even have to touch them. He doesn't have to get close. He just says, go and show yourselves to the priest, and they're healed as they go. But also you see that the fact that they obey his word. They just go. Now, did they believe that he would heal them? Were they maybe desperate for healing, so they just say, oh, you know, worth a shot, right? Or what? We don't know. We're not given that answer. But we are told that they're all cleansed. And so that's the first part of the story, and it shows us this truth. God has general mercy on all. God has general mercy on all. So if you think about it, Jesus here has compassion. He has mercy on these lepers and cleanses them all. So he could have just kept walking. He was going to Jerusalem. He could have kept walking. I'm sure he was tired and busy at times. And also the fact that Jesus knew beforehand that not all would return in thanks, but yet he healed them all. He cleansed them all. This is general mercy to all of them. None of them deserved anything. And so also, God actually extends common grace, common mercy to all people. And what I mean by that is this. We, every single person, is a sinner who doesn't deserve anything good at all. So we're entitled to nothing, but yet we're given so much by God, and that is mercy from God. God gives general blessings to all people. You think about Matthew 5. He makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and on the unjust. God gives general blessings to all people by giving life and breath, health, food, rain, sun, comforts, children, money, etc. We don't deserve any of that. Think of how even unsaved people, they're healed from sicknesses at times. That is general mercy from God. And so his mercy is seen in general blessings of life, but also, of course, in Jesus. God so loved what? The world, that he sent his son to die. And all people are invited to come to Christ. That's definitely an act of mercy to all, for no one who comes will be cast out. Now, of course, we know not everyone will come, but the gospel invitation goes out to all people. And so this is why I call it general mercy, because the gospel invites them, but if they don't believe, of course, the mercy found in the cross is not applied to them in the sense of saving them from their sins. So every single person has experienced, to some degree, the general mercy of God, whether they recognize it or not. His widespread mercies surround us like the air that we breathe. And so then the question remains is, how do we respond to the mercy of God? Each of these 10 lepers experienced God's mercy through Jesus, but how did they respond? And that's what we find out in part 2 of the story. Is only one leper returns. We see that only one comes back. We see that starting in verse 15. All 10 are cleansed, one returns, give thanks. I mean, think about the ingratitude present in the other 9. Remember back to the condition of being a leper and how being cleansed would be like being raised from the dead. And now consider the response of the 9, and you realize the magnitude of their ingratitude. Because Jesus' healing would have turned their lives upside down. It would have turned their wretched state into blessing and life. And yet they didn't return in a simple act of thanksgiving, act of thanks. Ballard Campbell tells of this one story of, in 1860, there's this ship called the Lady Elgin, and it was hit by another ship, the Augusta, and it sank in Lake Michigan. And this ministerial student named Edward Spencer, he waded again and again into those frigid waters to rescue passengers. And in the process, his health was actually permanently damaged. And some years later at his funeral, it was noted that not one of the people he rescued ever thanked him. Not one ever thanked him for saving their life. Jesus restored the physical lives of these lepers, and yet 9 out of 10 of them weren't grateful. They didn't thank him. I mean, how could they do that? I mean, one aspect of it is, if you think about it, as sinners, it comes easy and natural to be ungrateful. Think about how ungrateful many of us can be at times, not really realizing the many gifts and blessings that God gives to us each and every day, but yet we focus on the negative. But more than that, I believe it's their hearts weren't changed. Though Christ had done this amazing work in their lives, they didn't truly recognize it for what it was. We find the one who returned was a Samaritan. It's implied that at the very least the majority of the other ones were Jews, if not all the other ones. If you remember, Samaritans and Jews hated each other. Jews saw Samaritans as sort of a half-breeds. They would actually walk around Samaria, taking the longer route so that they wouldn't encounter a Samaritan. And yet here it is, a Samaritan that returns in thanks. Out of all of them, the Jews should have been the ones praising God, thanking God, not the Samaritan. And so this Samaritan returning would be a stinging shot to religious elite who looked down upon them. They looked at them down as this unsavable group. And Jesus shows us that God even cares about outsiders. God cares about outcasts as well as the religious. What matters is faith in Jesus, not social standing, not upbringing. And so the least likely of them grasp what the others do not. They should have recognized God at work, the Jews, but didn't. Here's what's important to remember. While all 10 were cleansed, only one recognized that he was healed. You notice that. They walk away cleansed, but the one recognized, "I'm healed." 9 accepted the gift, but neglected the giver. And the one that returned was so utterly grateful that he couldn't help but thank the giver. So he didn't just see the healing, he saw who did the healing. And the other 9 were just, what was going on in their minds? We aren't given that. Of course, we can speculate. There's some possible reasons. Are they simply ungrateful people? Did they take it for granted? Was there a sense of entitlement? What about this? Did they not truly believe that they were healed, that the healing was real? Maybe they thought it would wear off. Wouldn't last. Were they just consumed with themselves? Were they focused on the religious rituals that they had to do with the priest and the sacrifices? We don't know, but the point is the same. They didn't return in thanks. In praise. And when only the one returns and the other 9 don't, Jesus says, "Where are the 9? And he shows us that the ingratitude doesn't line up with the miracle that just happened. They should be thanking him because it was out of pure mercy that he did this for them. And he talks to this Samaritan and he declares that his faith has made him well. And that phrase, "made you well," in Greek is literally "saved you." It is through his faith that he is saved. And notice that it is only this one that returns that receives this declaration by Christ. And it points you to the fact that this is more than physical healing. Remember, they all were already physically healed. And so then, this must be then deeper. This must be he is spiritually healed. He is forgiven and made right with God. He is saved. So the other nine, they were healed of their leprosy. They would no longer be lepers physically. But the one that returned is not only healed physically, but he's healed spiritually too. He's forgiven, he's made right. And that's the most important healing that there is. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. So while the other nine, they now can live their lives with healthy bodies, they would one day die and not experience eternal life. The one that returned responded in faith and is saved from his sins and experienced eternal life with God. That's the most important healing. And that leads me to the truth of the second part. Those who respond to his mercy and faith are saved. Those who respond to his mercy and faith are saved. This is, of course, is made in that verse that I just talked about, verse 19. But I want to dig deeper with the contrast between the one and the nine. So the nine that didn't return, the one that did. And so let's first take the nine. Never return. What do they show us? When we dig deeper to the truths evident, the timeless truths evident, they show us that someone can experience the general mercy of God and not have saving faith. They heard God's word. They even obeyed briefly. But they never actually had faith. They never actually believed. It reminds me of Luke 8 with the parable of the sower. And so the sower is sowing the seeds, and there's different responses to the word of God. I think specifically of verse 13 in Luke 8. You see the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing fall away. These men receive the healing, but they didn't have faith. They didn't have root. And this lack of faith is evidenced by their lack of thankfulness. So this is a sad reality. There are some who know all about God's mercy in Jesus and even experience some blessings of God, but they never truly believe. There are some who have grown up in church. They have heard all about the mercy of God, but they have never truly placed their faith in Jesus Christ. You see, these nine lepers received the healing, but they weren't transformed. They weren't changed in their hearts. They got to experience Christ firsthand. They got to experience Christ's physical healing on their bodies firsthand, yet their hearts remained hard. They were more than willing to receive the benefits of Christ, but not Christ himself. Are there some today who have received the benefits of growing up in a Christian home, the benefits of attending church services regularly, but they do not know Christ? As we see in this passage, this is nothing new. There are those who think they are good with God already because of their own works, so why have gratitude towards God then? Many others pray when they're desperate, but it's only because they want the material blessings, and after they get what they want, they move on, and that is not true faith. If you want the benefits of Christ only, but not Christ, that is not faith. If you are not willing to repent of your sin and trust in Christ alone, you are not saved. The Bible makes that clear. Jesus is not a genie in the bottle. Jesus is not a good luck charm. He's not a magician who we can be entertained by and then walk away and forget about. He's not just a really good doctor who we have no relationship with. He's the Son of God who came to earth, took on flesh, and died for us, the light of the world, King of kings, and Lord of lords. Think of the numerous amount of people who have received so many general blessings from God, and yet they never thank Him for them. They have been healed of cancer, yet they don't recognize the God who heals. Like those 9 lepers, they have been healed by God, but they don't encounter God in their healing. Did those 9 really understand the depth of what just happened? Did they understand the depth of the mercy that they needed? Was there a sense of entitlement? Was there a sense of, I deserve this? How could they not recognize Christ, who Christ was, when He just did that miracle in their lives? When He just drastically changed their lives physically? And if you think about it, that's the subtle yet powerful nature of sin, right? It blinds us to what is right in front of us. Where are the 9? Where are the 9? Where are the many who have said the right Christian things in order to benefit from saying them, but have never been transformed by Christ? Are you one of the 9? Realize the mercy of Christ and what He has done for you, and turn to Him. Turn away from your sin and turn in faith to Christ, who forgives and saves. That is what the 9 show us. But what does the 1 show us who returned? What does His response show? He shows us that those who recognize the depth of God's grace are those who don't take it for granted. When you truly recognize the depth of what God has done for you, you will be grateful for it. You see, He had eyes of faith. He could see the healer behind His healing. He could see the Savior behind His healing. It mattered more to Him to return and praise and give thanks than to hurry back to get back into society and normal life. That's because gratitude comes when you're deeply aware of the grace extended to you. The times you're most grateful are the times when you realize, I did not deserve this at all. Consider how His faith was expressed here. And it kind of shows us some general ideas of how faith is expressed in our lives. Faith is displayed in turning back to Christ. Notice as soon as he realized that he's healed, he turns back to Jesus. He sees and turns. It is a pivotal moment in him that it all comes together. And this seeing and turning illustrates when anyone turns away from their sin and turns to Christ. He understood that he needed to be close to Jesus, no matter how exciting it would be to hurry back to normal life, to cut his hair, right, to clean up and get back into society. He understood that to be at Jesus' feet was most important at that moment. I'm sure there was other thoughts and feelings, but he knew he needed to turn back to Christ. And he demonstrated that I need Jesus. I need to go back to Jesus. Faith is displayed in turning to Christ. Have you turned from your sin and turned to Christ in faith? Faith is also displayed in giving praise to God for His mercy. He returns, he praises God for what happens. He didn't attribute it to luck or chance or coincidence. He attributed it to God. He understood that God was working through Jesus. Now, we don't know the depth of his understanding of who all Jesus was here, of course. But we do see that he falls at his feet. And so that definitely shows us something. We see him giving thanks to God. Give thanks to Christ. You see him simultaneously praising God and thanking Jesus, simultaneously praising God and falling at the feet of Jesus. And I believe that points to the fact that he understood something deeper is going on here than just a normal miracle-working man. This is, as we know, this is God in the flesh. When we fall at the feet of Jesus and thank Him for His mercy, we are praising God. What else can one do when they experience the mercy of God, but to, mercy of Christ, but to praise God? I want you to listen to this verse from 1 Peter 1:3 and just hear this being played out. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So there you have it. Praise to God for his mercy, for he did it through Christ. And that's essentially what we find here. And so faith is seen when we, in our praise to God. And so is that the response that you have to the fact of the good news of Jesus and what he has done for you? But also we see the third way that faith is displayed is in, of course, thankfulness. You see the healed leper, he's grateful. He gives thanks to God. He gives thanks to Christ. He even fell at his feet in thanks. And so, of course, this thankfulness came because he had a correct understanding of Christ and himself. This is an essential truth. Gratefulness to God shows the depth of our understanding of his mercy to us. Gratefulness to God shows the depth of our understanding of his mercy to us. When you receive mercy, the mercy is the most impactful when you understand how much you need mercy. It's most impactful when you understand, I need mercy. I really need it. If you don't think you need mercy and you receive mercy, it's like, okay, that was nice. Yeah, I appreciate it. But when you really understand, I need mercy and you receive mercy, you are just so utterly thankful and grateful for it. He was completely aware that without the mercy of Jesus, he was hopeless. Using the words of Jesus from the prior passage, he understood that he was an unworthy servant. He was mindful of the fact that he didn't deserve anything. And so when he received mercy from God, he understood what it was. It was the great mercy of God. And so a key component of being a grateful person is you always remember everything good in life is a gift from God, and I don't deserve any of it. That is what propels you to be grateful. To be a thankful person is every single thing that's good I don't deserve, and it is a gift from God. And so that means even the littlest things, you're like, I am thankful for that. Because it's a gift. It's undeserved gift. We're sinners. You're ultimately dependent on the everyday mercies of God each day. What good did we receive that is from ourselves? Paul makes that point in 1 Corinthians 4. What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Right? James says, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. Every breath you take, even the breath that you're breathing right now, is a mercy of God. It is a gift. And isn't it great that his mercies never come to an end? They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. He's worthy of worship. Though we are wretched sinners who have sinned against him, he extends mercy to us. And what can we do other than return to him in praise and thanks and fall at his feet? And so receiving mercy should generate gratefulness, praise to God. What is your response to the mercy of Jesus? Like those other nine lepers who never return, no gratefulness means you haven't really understood the depth of what just happened. No gratefulness means you didn't understand the depth of what just happened, of how you desperately need mercy and how he gives mercy. And on the flip side, what we learn today is saving faith experiences God's mercy and responds in gratitude and praise. Saving faith experiences God's mercy and responds in gratitude and praise. This man understood and placed his faith in Christ. He didn't just accept the benefits and blessings and move on, but he recognized who Christ was and what he had done. So true faith isn't shadow and it isn't shallow. True faith isn't just a to-do item that you check off. True faith doesn't take God's mercy for granted, but he understands it desperately needs it. Can you imagine a person born into sin and yet graciously saved by Jesus Christ and not thanking God? And not praising God, realizing what just happened. I didn't deserve this. I was a sinner bound for hell and there's no way I could save myself. But yet out of his love and mercy, he sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And all I have to do is place my faith in him and I receive the gift of eternal life. Do you see the mercy? And do you see how it should generate gratefulness and praise? Like, how can you not be grateful for that and praise God for that? So evaluate your heart today. Have you repented of your sins and placed in your faith in Jesus Christ to save you? What is your response to that mercy? Is it to say, like the lepers, just move on with life? Oh, good, that was nice. Well, it's a good thing Jesus came and died, but I'm going to move on with my life. Is it like that, or do you understand your sinful condition and you turn away from self and turn to Christ and believe in him? And if you do that, then just like that leper who returned, your faith will make you well. It will save you. It is only through faith. And anyone can be saved. Like that Samaritan, he was looked down upon. He was seen as unsavable to many. But Jesus shows us that no one is unsavable. All are called to repent and believe and are able to receive the gift of eternal life. So trust in what Christ did for you. And for those who trust in Jesus, you were certainly grateful when you were saved. But do you continue to be grateful each day? For the Christian, gratefulness should be a way of life. It really should. Because we reflect back to the mercy of God and we say, I am only saved because of his mercy. I am only here because of his mercy. Everything good in life I receive is only because of his mercy. I'm an unworthy servant who is simply serving my great merciful master. He deserves everything. I deserve nothing. Yet, get that? I deserve nothing, yet God has given me so much. And so every day I will go to Christ. Every day I will praise God. Every day I will fall at his feet and thank him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful, as we just learned about today, as we got challenged today, we are grateful for Christ and the mercy that you have shown us. Each of us who didn't deserve anything in life. And yet you not only give us general blessings in life, but you give us the most important blessing in Christ. And I pray if there's someone here today who hasn't truly repented and believed in Jesus, that they would do that today. And I pray for each of us that we reflect upon the mercy of God and be grateful for even the smallest of things, realizing that they are a gift. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.